One pound for the house, baby. That's all we need, baby. It's one for the house.
Oh, oh, come on.
Pimp juice.
Welcome back to That 590 Show. If you're just now tuning in, you missed a great conversation with Brian Curtis, editor at large of The Ringer. But the good news is that all of our shows are available for podcasts at InsideSTL.com. And if you haven't read his article about Colin Kaepernick, you really should. He really doesn't take a side. He's just basically saying, you know what? Everybody's taking sides, and we really don't know. We don't know if he's been blackballed, but I don't even know if you could even prove that. But the thing is that, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, he's not going to compete for a starting job in the NFL. Whether you disagree or agree, those are the facts. And NFL teams and NFL owners, they don't like distractions at all, but they certainly don't want a distraction from their backup quarterback. I do think that he belongs in the NFL. I do think that he can play in the NFL. But I don't think that he fits every NFL system. But I do think that he belongs in Seattle. I think that's a perfect landing spot for him. You have a player's coach in Pete Carroll. You have a locker room you know that is going to have his back. And Seattle and the Seattle metropolitan area are a pretty progressive area. Like, you don't want to see him someplace where, like, in Nashville, would he fly? Do you think he'd fly? Rocky, what's that look on your face that you have? Okay. Do you think, like, he would fly in Nashville? No, absolutely not. Do you think he'd fly, like, Indianapolis or Cincinnati or Cleveland, Kansas City, some of the smaller markets in the Midwest? No. Would he fit in Seattle? Yeah. I think he would. And I think that that's a perfect landing spot for him, and I hope he does land there too, because, like I told Brian, I'm sick of it being a story, to be honest with you. You don't deserve anything in this world. To quote the great Will Money in Unforgiven, deserves got nothing to do with it. And I think Colin Kaepernick has done a lot of great things in trying to help minorities in this nation. He really has. Has he been perfect? No. He's been far from it. But don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And he's been pretty good. He's done a lot of really great things. And if you don't believe it, then research it. If all you want to do is just think that he is someone who hates the cops and hates the military, then fine. I'm probably not going to be able to change your mind of that. But I do think he is going to sign in the NFL. I just hope it's soon because I'm sick of it being the story. Rock, what do you think?
I think he makes a good point that we never really know and we're never really going to really know. I think there were some interesting comments today that came from John Mara, who's part of the Giants, who pretty much said that they got dozens, maybe even hundreds of letters from Giants fans saying that they will never, you know, they wouldn't buy Giants tickets or wouldn't support the Giants if a Giants player ever did something like Colin Kaepernick did. I don't know who I'm calling BS on first, John Mara or the people who supposedly sent in those letters.
Well, no.
That's one thing I think. I think that's horrible, and I think people acting like they're not going to stop watching that.
I think that's 100% real.
I don't think it is.
I think it's 100% real that people are going to stop buying that would stop buying tickets.
I think people being annoyed by it to the point where they want to bitch about it on Facebook, Twitter, and on talk shows is one thing. I think people actually, it being enough of a turn for them to stop watching the game or stop buying a ticket.
Stop watching.
Crap, BS. No way. You're going to the game. Because those 2 minutes and 30 seconds are not deterring you from going to see a game if you really want to go see a game.
Do not underestimate the anger of the MAGA crowd. And you know the MAGA crowd is the one that's the most upset about it.
That's fine. But I mean, I just don't see why that would be enough for you to say, nope, can't do it. Especially when you remember that especially if you're a 49er fan. And you were paying and going to games, and he was sitting down, and you weren't aware of it. And it didn't bother
you. That's the
funny
thing is that
it didn't hurt you. Didn't change your life.
People
so shut up.
People didn't know about it until the third preseason game. Because he did it the other two, and no one picked up on it. It wasn't until the third. And it was like one of those really fuzzy kind of like camcorder videos, too.
I can understand being annoyed by it, but I simply just don't think it's enough. That people just are, that's their make or break decision about going to a game? No. First of all, if people aren't going to games, that's not the deciding factor. And I'm sorry, but you're watching the game.
They may watch the game, but they may quit buying tickets, though.
I just can't see how that's the defining factor.
We talked about this with Eric Messersmith when he was leaving the studio. Who owns these NFL franchises? It's all people like Stan Kroenke and Jerry Jones. And I got a feeling that a lot of them probably had the same kind of political leanings as President Trump. We all saw how he feels about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, but at the same time, it came out that he wasn't trying to insult veterans, and even veterans came out and said they weren't insulted by it. So, Rock, you know that doesn't matter. Why?
What planet are you living in?
How does that not matter? How does the intent and how do the other people take it not matter?
You have to ask them.
If we apparently hit the breaking point where it no longer matters that the Washington Redskins are called the Washington Redskins because enough African Americans have come out and said they're not bothered by it, then how the hell does it not work the exact same way?
You have to ask them. I understand what you're saying, but you don't have to convince me. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Eric from QC is joining us.
Yes!
Eric, how are we doing so far? Did you like that Brian Curtis interview?
My favorite caller.
Eric, are you there? Eric, don't.
We lost Eric.
Eric, if you can, call back in. We lost Eric from QC.
You know what his first comment's going to be, don't you, Berger?
What's that?
You're not getting to the callers quick enough. Now that's going to be the first thing.
Well, if you didn't talk so damn much, maybe I could have. You're almost as bad as caller John.
How dare you, sir? That is an unbearable insult. Wow, that's a low blow, friend.
He had some questions about Colin Kaepernick. You guys might have answered him while he was on hold.
That could have been, could very well have been. But Eric, if you're listening, call in.
Maybe Eric's calling in and tell me I'm wrong. That's enough for him personally to decide he's not going to buy a ticket.
If that's the way you feel about it.
Now here's the thing: it could be different now when we're talking about Giants fans or something like that saying, if the team goes out and signs the guy, that would make me angry to the point where I wouldn't buy tickets anymore. I guess my point was more
because people were like that with Mike Vick when he signed with the Eagles.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess my point was more: we're 49er fans this year. Going to hold the 49ers accountable for what Kaepernick was doing. I can understand now, I guess, if you sign him, you've personally having a problem with what Kaepernick did and then holding against the team. I guess to that point, my bigger question was, do you really think 49er fans were holding out on the team because of what Colin Kaepernick was doing? That's what I would find a hard thing to remedy. But again, I guess, I didn't have a huge problem with what he did. I thought at different ways he, first of all, expressed it incorrectly, especially when he's doing it in a freaking Castro shirt. He had some bad optics added on.
He did. Like I said,
the Castro shirt thing was the dumbest thing I've ever freaking seen.
The Castro shirt and the socks with the police officers depicted as pigs.
I'd forgotten about that one. That was also really stupid because the entire point was
you lose the moral high ground on that one,
too. You were trying to show that it wasn't maybe anti-police or anti-military.
And then you wear that. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Baby O joins us. Good evening, Baby O. How are you, sir?
Let the music play a little bit.
We'll let it walk.
There you go. I got my 70 shoes on.
You know what, Baby O, if you were in the studio, you would have appreciated this optic. So the way the studio's set up, we can look through the window and we can see the door. And right when that music came on is right when Charlie Tuna walked in. So it looked like Tuna was sharing your interest music here.
Yeah,
there he is. There's the pimp right there, Charlie Tuna.
Let me tell you, I don't know if he can hear me or not, but there's a song by this lady. It's called "I'm in Love with Sweet Charlie," and let me tell you something. He loves that song.
I bet he does.
If he ever walks in the studio, maybe try to pull that up, and that'll give him some perfect walk-in music. But on Colin Kaepernick, it's interesting. Now, I didn't have a problem with what he did. The only problem I had. It's when he mentioned he didn't vote.
Yes. I'm with you on that one, too.
That's another one. You add that up to the Castro shirt and just the optics around his situation. What are you doing, dude?
Yeah, I didn't like that, but everything else, and like outside of things, of course, I can understand him wearing the Castro shirt and the people, especially down in Miami. You're down there, you got a little Havana down there.
Yeah, but you don't have to be Cuban to think that Castro was awful.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in Miami, it probably that guarantees a place that he's not gonna sign. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, he's not gonna sign there. I think Seattle's a perfect spot for him, to be honest with you. And I think schematically, I think Carolina wouldn't be a bad one, but I can't see Jerry Richardson being down with the way that Colin Kaepernick expresses his political
views. He may be a little to the right. It was just we'll just leave it at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I got a feeling you may be right about that one.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, I could be wrong, but I think some teams are using this deal as if him not being part of the quote-unquote system as an excuse. Because I'm going to tell you something. Every quarterback that every time that every team doesn't quote-unquote fit the system. So, of course, Blaine Gabbert doesn't fit any system. Blaine Gabbert sucks.
He's not very good, but I mean, like, he signed to compete for the backup job for Arizona. He's not even guaranteed a roster spot. So if Blaine Gabbert, if he stinks it up in training camp, then he's going to be gone. Everybody's making it out like Blaine Gabbert signed like this big, huge, lucrative deal with Arizona when he did.
I also think that's a fallacy, though, in the first place. Teams sign backups who are different scheme-type players all the freaking time. I'm sorry. Especially when it comes to getting a backup who can move the ball with his feet, because that's something you can gain more with. If a guy's not going to be as talented as a passer, he's a backup quarterback. There's a reason he's a backup. It gives you, it gives you another way to maybe do a little gaming. I don't buy that excuse at all. That it's all about him being scheme specific as a backup.
And let's face it, I have not heard Kaepernick say one time that he wants to be a starter.
No, You haven't heard him say salary demands or anything like that. And I haven't heard any
salary demands. And that's another thing. People are, and I think these are more media people, because let's face it, the teams aren't saying anything. The teams have been quiet on this. They say, well, they can't meet his contract demands for a backup. He hasn't made any demands.
None. And what kind of contract?
What kind of contract
demands could he make?
Exactly. He's going to come in as a backup. Now, he may end up competing and win a starting job if he ever signs with a certain team. But Kaepernick knows that right now he just wants a spot on the team. And the thing about the ratings, I think to blame Kaepernick partly for this, I think it's kind of a joke. Let's face it. The national anthem is played before the broadcast even come on.
Mostly, yes.
So when the broadcast comes on, with the exception of the Super Bowl and maybe certain games, which the 49ers wouldn't be in anyway, you wouldn't even see Kaepernick if he did do the kneel down. So I think that was kind of overblown. Let's say I think that election had a lot to do with the ratings being down. Let's face it.
There's no question it was because of the election. And I'll tell you this, baby O. I don't remember a lot of really great games being played in the NFL last year.
Oh, God. They were awful. And let's face it, if networks are trying to compare rating numbers from even 5 years ago, you're not going to get the same rating, maybe with the exception of the Super Bowl, because of live, because of streaming, because of people DVRing a lot of football games. The people are going to these big bars and watching them. So the number of people who's watching the games may not be down, but they aren't watching at the time the game is being broadcast, or they're in a large facility watching the game in big groups. So, and let's face it, you got Yahoo now is going to be streaming games, some games next year.
Twitter will as well.
What'd you say?
I said Twitter will as well.
Yeah, Twitter, Yahoo, and let's face it, I think the Sunday night games on NBC were terrible. Can you name me one decent game that was on Sunday night?
No, like I said, I can't remember any kind of regular season game that was actually really memorable. Even the playoffs, if you think about it, the playoff games really weren't that great either. The Super Bowl was amazing because you had the 25-point comeback. But other than that, I thought the play last year just wasn't very good.
It would be interesting to find out how many people actually turned that game off at halftime. What the ratings in the first half were compared to the ratings in the second half.
I would imagine quite a few did.
The last 2 minutes might have gone up a little. But I'm going to tell you, I bet those third quarter ratings for that game was terrible. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, there's so many reasons why I think ratings points are just different now. And they'll never be the same.
Baby O, we got to go. We appreciate your phone call as always, sir.
Okay, take care, guys.
We have Eric from QC. He tweeted in, You're tired about hearing about Kaepernick, yet you wasted at least 30 minutes of airtime on him. It's worse than Sanchez talk. Kaepernick would want too much money to have on your payroll as a backup. He would cause inside turmoil, not worth on a roster spot. We don't know what his salary demands are. He hasn't made any.
And at the same time, as far as
locker room turmoil goes, I think in Seattle there wouldn't be any of that.
And not only that, I have a problem wondering where that's coming from, considering everything we've heard from teammates in San Francisco say completely the opposite. That not only was the fact that he was kneeling not an issue inside the locker room, but him personally at no point was ever an issue inside the locker room. In fact, a lot of San Francisco players have come out and said that he was still a leader inside the locker room despite the fact that he wasn't a starter at times and that he was one of the...
Look, people in the locker room, this is what they're concerned about. Can you play or can't you play? That's the only thing they care about.
And so,
they don't give a damn about anything else.
Again, if we had players coming out and saying all these things about Kaepernick, how they had an issue with the locker room and how, you know, he distracted them at practice, that'd be one thing. I mean, we just had an article come out saying that Russell Wilson is causing problems on his team, and we've never heard a complaint like that. And yet, we've heard from his good stuff about Kaepernick, yet we're still going to continue with the myth that he's a locker room cancer?
Here's what the other guys in the locker room, here's what they don't want. They don't want a bunch of media people coming up to them after practice and asking them, what do you think about what Colin Kaepernick is doing? They don't give a damn about what he's doing. They don't want to be asked about it. That's what it is. That's why if they have a problem with it, it's not what he's doing, but it's because the response and the coverage of it. Let's take a commercial break, and then final segment of the night coming up next. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Well,